Oh, welcome in. We are ready for the unofficial fifth major. It is the Players. It is the 44th playing of the Players Championship, Hanavidra Beach, Florida, TPC Sawgrass. And we're back on Golf News Net Live. GNN Live, TJ Reeves, and the owner, the operator, the lead writer of Golf News Net is Ryan Ballingy, who is OL on location. We are profoundly jealous about this. You are already there at Sawgrass. I will be joining you later in the weekend. So first, good to be with you, and you got to be amped up. How amped are they in and around the grounds, TPC Sawgrass, getting ready for this event, sir?
There's always a cool buzz around the Players. It's different than a major. I mean, it's not a major, but it has a major feel. You can feel these guys are really into this tournament. They like playing it. They like that it's a great venue, that it's a fair test, and that they know the best player is going to win, whoever that turns out to be at the end of 4 days. So a lot of guys are hoping it's them and trying to figure out if it is going to be them. And they don't have a whole lot of time now to figure out what they got to work on between now and when they show up on the first or tenth tee tomorrow.
All right, so that is the task. One of the overarching stories, one of the storylines that will be talked about throughout this weekend, redesign of some of the holes. You have, again, been walking the grounds here. In particular, I think people are going to be fascinated by the backside and the 12th hole, which I believe it's the 12th that is now the drivable par 4. You'll correct me along the way because you've been there now for the last couple of days. Take me through what you have seen so far in terms of the changes, what you perceive, and how it will kind of affect things, because they have done a little redesign here, Ryan.
Yeah, they blew up the old 12th hole, which was kind of a modest 330, 350-yard par 4. You laid up to the right of a bunker, you hit a flip wedge in, and you could make birdie or you didn't, but it was awfully hard to make worse than 4. Now they've created 280 to 320-yard par 4, depending on where they choose to put the tees and the hole locations. And they've created on the left side of the hole a pretty severe penalty for not making the green. At about 240, 260, starts to be this lake that has this kind of camber from the left. So if you hit a poor shot, if you're trying to drive the green, or if you just hit a layup pretty too far to the left, it's going to go in the water, almost guaranteed. There's no rough to save it. There's no kind of roll to save it. It's just a bank that it's going to go in the water. So a lot of the guys that we've talked to over the first couple of days, either in news conferences or podcasts or whatever, a lot of them said, I'm just going to lay up. I'm going to lay up to maybe a 5-iron to leave 100 yards, or I'm going to hit a hybrid, maybe 230, 240, 250, and you leave a 60-degree wedge in there to whatever hole location it is. But there isn't a whole lot of incentive for, at least so far, for these guys to go for the green. I think that they will eventually, in certain spots, if you're fighting to make the cut or you need to make something happen on the weekend, but it doesn't seem like the way it's designed right now, it's going to have the intended effect the tour wanted, which was to invite guys after a par 5 to try to make a second eagle in a row.
Well, again, they have changed some of the tees. They've changed. They've taken away some of the trees on the 6th and the 7th hole, trying to do some different things, tinkering with the Pete Dye design of this. What's still there are the iconic finishing holes, including the Island Green 17th. We saw on Wednesday afternoon Ricky Fowler make an ace in a practice round on that hole. It's one of the things that makes this place special is that you know those finishing holes, the par 5 16th, the obviously famous 17th I just described, the par 3, and then the par 4 with water down the left, very daunting, where some of the dreams have died for guys trying to win the Players Championship. What about that part, Ryan, being on the grounds and around it? You know these finishing holes so well. If you're a big-time golf fan, or even if you're a casual golf fan, you know something especially about 17. I think it just it only adds to this event.
I think it's the best three-hole finish, at least in the PGA Tour. I mean, maybe in professional golf, but certainly on the PGA Tour. I mean, 16 is a great par 5. It's not long. It's 5-10 max, but there's a lot of peril in the second shot if you choose to go for the green, and you pretty much have to. There's no analytical reason to lay up at all. 17, as you mentioned, is iconic. It's controversial still 40 years later. And the interesting thing about it is it really hasn't changed. I mean, it's still the same shot. It's still the same green. It's still the same pot bunker just over the right edge. But it's I think held the test of time. I think the players get disinterested or dislike the hole when it's really windy because there's a variable they just can't control. I mean, that's what every player dislikes is when they can't control variables. But as it is, as a whole, I think a lot of guys like it. It's a pretty straightforward shot, 135 yards. Can you hit a green that you would hit 100 out of 100 times if it were sand or grass there instead of water? And it kind of builds up to the 18th hole, which, I mean, it's a tough tee shot looking on TV, but when you see it in person, I mean, you stand there and you kind of gulp twice where, I mean, how are you going to find the space to hit that fairway? And it's a really difficult tee shot, but a great finish. I mean, it's absolutely perfect. And they did the right thing a few years ago, changing the playoffs to go away from a sudden death playoff to play 16, 17, and 18. So you might get it twice on Sunday in a really important situation. So it's the right thing to do.
Voice of Ryan Ballingy. I'm TJ Reeves. It's GNN Live, and we're talking the Players' Championship. Our coverage is presented this evening and throughout this weekend by Popticals. Pop out sunglasses. That is pack small, live big. Popticals, you'll hear more about them as this show unfolds and also as the weekend unfolds, and we thank them for being part of our coverage of the Players. Jason Day, the defending champ. A couple of fascinating parts to the Players. It's very hard. In fact, it hasn't happened yet for somebody to come back and repeat. It's also hard to come back and win a second time, period. And there are a lot of guys in the field. Sergio Garcia, the defending Masters champ, has won a Players' Championship. Henrik Stenson is in this field. He's won a Players' Championship. So is Phil Mickelson. Martin Keimer, on and on down the list of recent winners, including Jason Day. The last guy to win a second time is Tiger Woods, 2013. So why do you think, having watched it, having covered it for so long, having been there already, it is so hard to win this thing a second time, if not back-to-back in Day's case? Why is it so hard to capture this thing more than once? What's your opinion on that, Ryan?
I just think it's the way that the golf course has been created. It truly does not favor anybody. It's become a cliche at this point, but cliches are rooted in truth. And that's just the truth about Sawgrass. Pete Dye did a great job, not only at the initial outset, but over the years, cultivating a golf course that didn't favor any kind of player. You don't have to be long to win. You can be, but you don't have to be. You don't have to hit a draw or a fade. You have to hit both. You need to hit every kind of shot. You don't have to have a perfect short game. Ball strikers have won this tournament. Sergio Garcia is one of those guys. Because the way that the green complexes and the hole locations are set, they're set in a way that if you hit a brilliant shot, you have a short putt. Well, these guys can make short putts. But if you hit a lackluster shot, you can still make four. You can still make a par on most holes. It kind of allows you to stick around if you're playing well until you can play well enough to make putts. But if you're not playing well, you can't just get by on talent. You can't get by on course knowledge. You can't get by on the course favoring you. So you are exposed pretty quickly on this golf course if you're not playing well. And that's why you see so many variable champions. And like you said, we've never seen a repeat winner at Sawgrass, and there's no reason to believe the way Jason Day is playing, that's going to change this year.
All right, we're going to hear more from Paul Stewart. He's going to check in from FanRag Sports, and Paul is over in England. He's going to give us a flair for the non-Americans, in particular the European players like Sergio and others, including a couple of names that he likes for this weekend. We'll do that coming up. I want to talk to you, before we get to that, about the Americans. Dustin Johnson, number one player in the world, rightfully so, with the way that he's played basically in the last 12 months of golf, played very well on Sunday at the Wells Fargo, at their alternate location at Wilmington at Eagle Point. What kind of chance do you gauge Dustin Johnson to have in this Players' Championship if you had to handicap it, Ryan?
There's kind of two competing pieces of the magnet there, because you have Dustin Johnson playing so well overall, obviously won his three prior starts. He finished T2 at Eagle Point after making the cut on the number, played the weekend at 10 under par, and had the clubhouse lead for a hole until Brian Harman won the tournament. But it only took him 36 holes to get to the lead. I mean, that's pretty frightening to think about. But his record at Sawgrass is abysmal. I mean, he makes the cut because he's talented and he can do that. But he doesn't have a top 20 finish at TPC Sawgrass. So his course record just screams, this is not going to be a good week for him. But his current form and the what we talked about earlier, that Sawgrass favors great players playing great, regardless of whether you like the course or not. That lends itself to believe, okay, well, he's the best player. Clearly, he should be in the mix. So I'm tepid about his chances, and he knows now kind of his course record. He was told in the news conference today, like, all right, you don't play this course very well. How do you feel about it? He's like, oh, really? I didn't know that. So that might be the one thing working in his favor, that he kind of turns all that stuff off and just plays golf. And if he can do that and play the way that he's been playing, especially the final 2 days at the Wells Fargo Championship, he should win. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Well, but as you mentioned, there's something, certain courses sometimes befuddle guys, but maybe this is the week that he captures that. I want to go over one more name real quick while we have a moment. Jordan Spieth, who certainly has a tremendous amount of talent, has won big-time events. What kind of, again, handicap him, state of his game, and what kind of chance you give him in this 2017 Players' Championship, Ryan?
He kind of fell apart in the final round of the Masters, and that's the second year in a row he really just didn't have it in the final round. And then goes into New Orleans and teams up with Ryan Palmer and hawks up like he normally does and teams off and played wonderfully, especially on the weekend at TPC New Orleans. And we really don't know a whole lot about where Spieth's individual game is. So that's a little bit of a mystery, but he is a good ball striker. He's an excellent second shot player. Maybe not the best driver of the golf ball, but that's not necessarily the most important thing at Sawgrass. So as long as he keeps it in play, I mean, off the tee, doesn't set himself up for kind of awkward shots that Pete Dye is just waiting for you to have to hit if you don't put the ball in the right spot off the tee, I think he'll be okay. I mean, he had a T4 finish here in 2014 and really hasn't done anything in the tournament in the 2 years since. So he knows what it's like to get close. He just hasn't been able to close the door here, but he certainly has the game and he's got enough of a course record that seems to suggest he can play well here and isn't flustered by any aspect of Pete Dye's design.
That's the voice of Ryan Ballingy. Ryan, stand by. We'll come back to you a little bit later on with some predictions. Again, it is our preview on Golf News at GNN Live of the Players' Championship as they get things rolling on Thursday and all through the weekend, trying to crown a Players' Champion for 2017. We'll be coming your way with post-round coverage throughout the weekend, Thursday through Mother's Day, Sunday night, when somebody holds up the crystal, holds up the hardware as a Players' Champion. Much more on the way. Our coverage is presented by Popticals. You're going to hear more about them momentarily. Paul Stewart from across the Atlantic to talk about the non-Americans and their chances to win. He gives a great international perspective. That is coming up. Stay with us as GNN Live continues. And it is time to tell you more about our presenting sponsor. That is Popticals and our friends with pop-out sunglasses at Popticals. They say pack small, live big at Popticals, and Preston Porter is here, who is the social media and PR manager for Popticals. Great to have you. We're going to talk in a second about a contest that you have to give away, but if they are golfers and they are listening to us, Popticals has a line of golf pop-out sunglasses that they're going to want to know more about, including the Nidef golf sunglasses that are going to enhance their game. Let's talk a little bit about your product and why, if they are a golfer, they're going to be so interested in this. Tell me more here, Preston.
Sure. So Popticals, let's go over what pop-out sunglasses are. That's usually the first question we get. So typically, when you have sunglasses, they get scratched, they get damaged, because there's no place to put wraparound sunglasses when you're not using them. People keep them on their head, tuck them in their shirt, cup holder, everywhere. They get scratched and damaged. What we have developed is a patented system that has a rail system built right into the frame that allows the curved geometry of a wraparound design to fold into itself, slide together, come back down to a really small size, hence pack small, live big, and that goes in a little hard shell case you can put in your pocket, clip onto your belt, clip right onto your golf bag, and all of a sudden the big clunky glasses that you need and don't need are right there with you.
How about that?
So that's the pop out sunglasses part. And getting back to what you said, we've just partnered with Carl Zeiss Vision, who is a giant in the world of optics. They make scopes, camera lenses. The first pictures on the moon were taken with Zeiss lenses. So excellent company. We were lucky enough to partner with them to do a NIDEF golf lens. So NIDEF is actually made out of nylon as opposed to polycarbonate. And what that does is, first, when you pick them up, they're about 16 to 20% lighter than polycarbonate lenses. So super comfortable on your face, light as a feather. But the game changer of having nylon instead of polycarbonate is they're significantly clearer than polycarbonate. They really have, you'll be able to see every single detail of every single part of the course. And what separates them from our regular NIDEF lenses is, again, working with Carl Zeiss Vision, we developed a purple and a violet tint. And basically that desaturates green as you're looking at the course. Because when your eye is looking at any part of a golf course, your eye is basically overloaded with green light, and you have some trouble differentiating between the different, you know, curves, undulations, all that kind of stuff. So what the tint of the NIDEF golf lenses do is actually desaturates the color and enhances the contrast. So it really ups your game in being able to see all different parts of the course and any details that you otherwise might miss with another pair of sunglasses.
And for the fans that are listening to us, they've got a chance to win a pair of these popticles. They need to check out GNN's website, the Golf News Net, and also check out Popticles' social media as well as GNN's social media for a contest giving away a pair of these NIDEF golf sunglasses for the weekend. They're going to get their hands here in this situation, Preston, on a pair of popticles that retail for between $175 and $200 for free just by listening to us and by checking out GNN and checking out their social media and going to Popticle sites as well.
Yeah, you can go over to popticles.com, browse some of our styles. The NIDEF golf lenses come in 5 different styles, so kind of get the style that fits your face shape. Learn a little bit more about the lens technology and what makes NIDEF golf lenses so special.
So again, you can find out more about Popticles going to popticles.com. Also check out their Facebook page, their social media on Twitter as well at Popticles. And again, we're giving away a pair of these NIDEF golf sunglasses. They will help you with all the contrast and the colors out in the bright sunshine this summer from our presenting sponsor, popticles.com. It's going to be a great weekend at the Players Championship, and we appreciate Preston Porter for being with us. It's going to be an exciting weekend of golf, that's for sure. And we've got more on the way as GNN Live rolls on. Stay with us. Oh, we are ready to go. We are ready to go with what is the unofficial fifth major as the PGA Tour showcase event, the Players Championship, gets set to take place. Paul Stewart from FanRag Sports' golf coverage from over in England, over in the UK. Give us a little European perspective as they get ready to play this event for the 2017. Yeah, well, is it really a major? I guess that's the first question we ask. So, Paul, good to have you in the preview mode. Is this really a major? Do they consider it like a major over in Europe, over in the UK? What about it?
I think so, TJ, because yes, you have the 4 major championships. The Masters is the one that starts the ball rolling. It gets everyone excited that the new golf season has really begun. Spring has arrived. We've still got another month until the US Open, as we call it over here, because it's the Open, is our event in July. So this is like the next step. You know, we've had the Masters, we've got a month to wait, now we've got another big event. But when you look at the people who are playing in this, the quality of the field is fantastic because the Masters is limited to, what, something like 90 players, includes all the past champions. The Players' Championship really is all the best players on both tours competing on a pretty iconic course with a very iconic 17th hole. So yes, I think it has earned its place as the fifth major. And yes, there will be pretty much wall-to-wall coverage on satellite TV here in the UK with all our top commentary team.
Okay, so on that point, Do the UK fans embrace this year in and year out? Is there a lot of chatter? You play golf at your club. You're around them at work. You're around them socializing. Is there a lot of chatter on this event? Is it in the papers, in the tabloids, the Players' Championship locally, regionally in England? Do they care?
I think so, because it's an event that some of the big European players have a chance of winning. So Rory McIlroy's in the field this week. We're coming off the Masters, which had a European victory with Sergio Garcia. And I think the reason this event gets a lot of, what I say, not really tabloid coverage, but general golf coverage, it's got the most iconic hole in all of golf. The 17th hole, it's only 130 yards. Anyone in golf can hit a 9-iron or a wedge 130 yards, but put it in the middle of a lake with 30,000 people watching you at Sawgrass, that's another kettle of fish. So I think that's the reason it gets a lot of interest, because everyone wants to see people play that hole, and everyone loves to see a pro drop it in the water.
Okay. You don't know this because we didn't pre-prepare this, but I have played at Sawgrass, and you and I have never talked about this. Have you? You've ventured over here because of your love, your passion for Tampa Bay Buccaneers football. It's brought you to the state of Florida. Have you ever played the TPC Sawgrass Stadium course where they play the Players' Championship? I don't know this about you. Have you played it?
No, I've never played that. I've played all the major courses here in the UK. I've shot 77 rounds St Andrews. I've played Carnoustie, Turnberry. I've never played Sawgrass. I've never played Pebble Beach. It's on my bucket list, TJ.
Okay, so I'm one up on you right now if we're in match play, because I have played there. But I have to confess, my hand is up here for the audience on the Playing Through podcast. My hand definitely goes up to say, I played the 17th hole, and I put her in the water short with a wedge. It was a back hole location, like a back middle hole location, and I came up woefully short. I was concerned. It was late in the afternoon. I was concerned about the wind. I was concerned about whatever. I came up like 5 yards short of the green. So now I go down to the drop area, Paul Stewart, and I've got a back hole location. The easiest thing would be just hit it on the middle of the green and try to two-putt. Well, I've decided I want to try to make four. I don't know if I'm ever going to play this hole again. I'm going to try to make four. So guess what I do? I hit the ball. It bounces once towards the back of the flag. It bounces twice, and I'm in the water again. And I'm now dropping five. I knock five on and lipped out the putt, actually, for six. So I made quad at that hole. My point is, there weren't 30,000 people there. There weren't the pressure. There weren't the TV cameras. And I still put it in the drink twice. I can empathize that it looks like such a simple shot. It's one of the iconic holes. It's not a simple shot with that island green. I can testify from experience it's not a simple shot.
And I think this is what makes golf so great, TJ, is you or I are never going to play tennis at Flushing Meadow. We're never going to play quarterback at Raymond James Stadium. We're never going to hit balls at Yankee Stadium, you know, different sports. But we can all play golf. We can take on the holes that the pros do, you know, such as, you know, I mean, I've played the road hole at St Andrews. And believe me, if you think the 17th of Sawgrass is tough, wait till you've been in the road hole bunker and you're thinking, okay, how do I get out of here?
Do I go backwards? So, yeah, do I play backwards out of the bunker?
I have actually to admit here, I'm going to get even with you, is I've made a sand save from the road hole bunker.
You one-upped me. You made a par. You sand saved. Okay, good.
But I think that's what makes this event so special, is that we can all, like you say, empathize with standing on the tee of a 130-yard par 3 thinking, oh, we can do this. How come the pros are making mistakes here? And I think that's what makes it a fantastic hole. And everyone loves that hole and this whole the spectator event that it becomes. And it's a fantastic, I think it was Pete Dye designed the hole. It's fantastic. And long may this continue, and long may this event be played at Sawgrass, and we all look forward to the 17th.
Paul Stewart waxing eloquently from England. All right, you mentioned Sergio Garcia and Justin Rose. When last we saw Sergio, we've not seen him since. He was dropping that putt in the sudden death playoff to win the green jacket, his first ever official major. Let us not forget, he's the 08 Players Champion. He actually was in the playoff 2 years ago in this event where Ricky Fowler eventually won it. So Sergio hasn't played in a month. Let's get your thought first on that moment. He was in the media center on Wednesday and being asked, how has it changed him? He said, it changes you in that it relieves you that you can win a major. I'm paraphrasing. He changes you in that people now look at you differently as a major champion. How would you say it has changed Sergio Garcia, or do we really know until we start seeing him play, like in this event?
I think he's going to be playing without the monkey on his back, because everyone always, every time you preview the major championship, and I mean, I did this, you know, a few weeks ago before the Masters, people were always saying, well, there's Sergio Garcia and he's played 70 plus majors and he's never won, and will he ever win a major? Well, now he has. And no matter what happens, he knows he can go home, he can open his closet, and there's a green jacket there. So it doesn't matter if he shoots 30 over par at every event for the next 3 years, he's a major champion. And I think this is something that Danny Willett has found since he won in 2016 at Augusta, is, yes, people are looking at him differently, and I think he's been trying to play to that expectation, and this is why he's been struggling. So I think you might find Sergio playing with a lot more freedom, because he's a fantastic player. He still ranks in the top 10 in the world. Without that monkey on his back, he can go out with and really enjoy himself, knowing that, well, no matter what happens, I've got that jacket sitting waiting for me when I get home.
Voice of Paul Stewart giving me some great insight. Players Championship coming up this weekend at the Stadium Course, TPC Sawgrass, the biggest event on the PGA Tour for them, their signature event. All right, so that begs the question, how do you think Sergio is going to do, having, as I laid it out, not played essentially in a month? Is he going to make the cut? Is he going to be in contention? I've laid it out that he's won before, was in the playoff 2 years ago and could have won. What do you think? Look in the crystal ball.
I was one of the people who thought he and Justin Rose would do very well at Augusta, so I've got a feather in my cap there for that one. I think he's going to struggle this week, simply because he hasn't played competitive golf for a month. So I think he's going to be saying all the right things, shaking everyone's hand, waving to the crowd, because everyone's going to recognise, yes, you're a major champion now, Sergio. I'd be very, very surprised if he's in contention come Sunday night. I think there are one or two very good European players who will be there, and I think the person who the top European this week, I think it's going to be Rory McIlroy, because he was okay at the Masters. He was always on the fringes of contention without ever really being at the top of the leaderboard. I think this is the time when he's going to say to Dustin Johnson, okay, you're the world number one. I've been the world number one. Okay, battle time. The rest of the year, it's you and me. Let's go at it. Rory's going to win this week.
It's a fascinating take there. He's one of the best players in the world. He's got an equipment change this week, and we had been wondering, because Nike is out of the golf club manufacturing business, out of the golf ball business, and that's the equipment he had been playing. The word is out. The deal is finalized. It's a tailor-made deal. It's rumored to be, not unlike Paul Stewart's deals, it's rumored to be a $100 million deal for McIlroy. I remember a few years ago there was a struggle with his equipment change. And so if that is coming here soon, I don't know what TaylorMade's in the bag this weekend. We got to find out. But if it's coming soon, might there be a struggle with equipment change for McIlroy?
I think it's a possibility. I mean, you look at some of the other players that TaylorMade have. Dustin Johnson's with them. Justin Rose's with them. Sergio's with them. It's almost like they're taking over all the big name players, you know, on the tours. So I don't think that will be too much of a problem with him. I know he's been practicing a lot. He hasn't played for a couple of weeks either. He's got married in the last few weeks, so it's his first event as a married man. As I say, I'm putting my money on, and I don't gamble, I would put my money on Rory this week. I think he's going to be the main man. The one other player I think to look out for that, you know, most Americans really haven't heard is a guy, an Austrian called Bernd Wiesberger. Now, he, for the last 6 months, he's hardly been out of the top five on the European Tour. Mm. He's been in tremendous form. He had a win in the Far East a few weeks ago. He's not really done anything too much on the US Tour, apart from one great performance in a major a couple of years ago. Look out for Bernd Wiesberger. He's a long shot. That's why we had Thomas Peters.
All right, now this is why you and I do this, allegedly, because we help each other out. Wiesberger was part of the finish in 2014 at Valhalla in the PGA Championship that involved Rory McIlroy eventually winning that PGA Championship. I want to say, wasn't Wiesberger in the final group with McIlroy on the final day? I believe that's correct, battling for that. So we've seen him kind of worldwide. We've seen him here and there, and you're saying watch out for that name at Sawgrass.
I think so. Now, there's 28 European players playing this week at Sawgrass. There have only ever been four European winners in all that time. Now, we talked about Sergio. Martin Kaymer won it 3 years ago, and a colleague of mine at my own golf club is tipping him to do well this week. Henrik Stenson won in 2009. Then you go back 30 years to Sandy Lyle, who defeated Jeff Sluman in a playoff. And one of the things I was watching the highlights of that playoff, Sandy Lyle stood on the 18th tee at Sawgrass. He hit a one iron off the tee.
How about that?
Now, I mean, how many players in the field this week would even own a one iron? That shows how much the game has changed.
It has. Well, Jason Day had a one iron a year ago, and he talked earlier, I believe, on Tuesday. He doesn't have that club anymore. He actually broke it. He bashed it, the face of it, to the point where it wasn't functional anymore. And he hasn't replaced it with a one iron. So, yeah, that maybe they make a comeback. John Daly used to hit the longest one irons you've ever seen in recent years on the tour, but nobody seems to hit that club anymore. And again, this thing has had a real international flair. I worked the 09 event that Stenson won when he basically took the thing over on Saturday and Sunday. KJ Choi, a playoff win over David Toms. You mentioned Martin Kaymer, who was blazing. I want to say he still has the record, 29 on the opening nine holes, I think, in the opening round, and he never looked back after that in the 2014 win. And then, of course, he went on after the Players' Championship, Paul, you know this, to win the U.S. Open later that summer. So there have been why do we attribute the international players, the non-U.S. players, having so much success in this event over the last decade or so?
I think like we've talked before, it's become a lot of the European players now have a foot on each side of the Atlantic. So whereas they're now more comfortable playing in America, whereas going back into the 70s and 80s, you know, the likes of Sinek Faldo, Sandy Lyle coming over, just playing two or three events and going back, you're now looking at a lot of the European players being based in Florida, playing 10, 12 events a year. You've got the likes of Paul Casey, Russell Knox, who base themselves permanently on the US tour. All these other guys, Tyrrell Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood, Alex Norman, people like that who come over, play six, seven events, then come back and play in Europe. They're more comfortable playing over there now. So I think if you're living in Florida for 3 or 4 months a year, practicing there during the winter, then simply it's no longer a trip to a foreign country. They're now more comfortable being there, and hence the results have proven that.
And familiarity with the course. They play the same course every year. This one and the Masters are the two big events where they play the same course every year. And once you've played it two, three, four tournaments, you're obviously going to know where to hit it and, more importantly, where to miss, where you can bail out, where you cannot leave yourself in jeopardy or in trouble. Few moments left as we talk this over with Paul Stewart. Hey, Jason Day, give me an opinion on him. He was rolling a year ago at this time in the wraparound for what he had done at the end of 2015 and into 2016. He really blitzed the field the last couple of days at this event. Speculate, does he get back to form at this Players' Championship? Do we see Jason Day start to recapture some of that major or unofficial major status here in this event this weekend?
I hope so, because I've always found him a very, very nice person. You know, every time you see him, he comes across as a very, very genuine, honest person. The likes, you know, the same way as Ricky Fowler comes across that way, Jordan Spieth comes across that way. There are seven or eight very, very good players who have all got the ability to get into a shootout. Now, can you imagine if whether it's this week or we get into one of the other majors, where we have the likes of a Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Henrik Stenson, Jordan Spieth shootout? Can you imagine what that would do for the game? Now, we've talked in the past that, you know, we don't believe Tiger Woods is coming back. And to be honest, I don't think we need him, because you've got so many of these good players. And Jason Day is one of them. Adam Scott's another one. I would love to see all of those people going in a shootout this weekend. It would make for a fantastic Sunday night's viewing here in the UK.
Yeah. Well, of course, Dustin Johnson had been rolling and had the injury on the very doorstep of starting at the Masters. And then he comes out first event in a month and played last weekend in Wilmington, North Carolina, and played well. And got himself on the final day into a possible playoff before Brian Harman rolled in that long putt to win it on the 72nd hole, or he would have been in a playoff with John Rahm and would have been in a playoff with Dustin Johnson. We'll see. We'll see if Jordan Spieth has something here. Can Phil Mickelson, a former Players' Champion, conjure something up? How will Sergio do? Is there a Euro? Is there an international player that we're not talking about that steps to the forefront? That's part of the intrigue, Paul Stewart. It's why we're excited, right?
I've got one more name for you, and a very famous name from Ryder Cup, Ian Poulter.
Yeah.
Now, Ian Poulter's playing this week. Poulter, of course, has been in the news recently that he was given an extension for his tour card when everyone thought he was going to lose it after his injury exemption. Poulter's one of these players who can turn up an event like this, and suddenly there he is on the leaderboard. You know, it is loud clothing that he always wears because that's his trademark. He's a name that I can see turning up there this week. I can see an Ian Poulter having a good week this week. And he's a fantastic guy to talk to, and he's a tremendous character. So, yeah, I'd like to see him do very well. He's an outside bet.
Yeah, he's playing for his PGA Tour living, his PGA Tour card, to stay alive on that. I referenced working the 09 tournament. I was with Ian Poulter, I believe, in the Friday second round that year. He finished runner-up to Stenson that year in 09. He has familiarity with the course. We'll see. Maybe a little tip here from Paul Stewart on being able to get it done. Listen, I always enjoy getting the opportunity to talk with you. Let's see what happens here with the Players' Championship, the 2017 playing of the Players' Championship. And how much drama, and whether there will be Europeans involved. We'll see.
It's been a pleasure, TJ. So we have live coverage here on British TV. We have all our commentary crews over covering this event like they do all the majors. So we'll have the likes of Colin Montgomery, Paul McGinley, another Ryder Cup captain. We have Butch Harmon on the commentary team. Now, something that was very interesting around the Masters was when Dustin Johnson was on the first tee, was he going to play, wasn't he going to play? Butch Harmon was commentating at the time for British television, who pretty much was saying, he's not going to make it. I've just been with him on the range. He can't swing the club. So Butch always gives good insights. And I think his number one pupil will be right up there this weekend as well.
There he is, folks. Paul Stewart. With me from over in England, helping preview this Players Championship on GNN Live. We will pause here. Ryan Ballingy rejoins me from Sawgrass in the preview mode. Prediction time coming up as Golf News Net Live continues. Stay with us. Well, we do come back in one final time here to preview the Players Championship. TJ Reeves and the owner, the operator, the lead writer of the Golf News Net, Ryan Ballingy, is back with me. Ryan, on location at the Players' Championship in the preview mode. So Paul Stewart was giving a couple of predictions in the last segment of the non-Americans. He really likes Bern Wiesberger as his kind of dark horse. But he said, you know, Sergio Garcia with history at this event, watch him. And he really likes Rory McIlroy as well. So, Ryan, as I call you back in, first, can you sound off on McIlroy and the equipment deal? That was announced on Tuesday, his deal with TaylorMade. I know you've been writing about it on the Golf News Net. What about this equipment deal and the buzz in and around the Players' Championship that Rory has new equipment coming?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a blockbuster. I mean, it wasn't completely unexpected, but basically after the Masters and before he got married and went on his honeymoon with Erica Stoll, his new wife, he had basically equipment companies come to him. He was looking for a new golf ball, really. He was unhappy with the Titleist Pro V1 and how it performed in the wind, the X model that he played at the Masters and played through 2017 thus far. He found something with the TP5X, which is the new ball from TaylorMade, which I've played. I mean, I can echo his sentiment. It's a great golf ball. So he decided to go with a whole bag deal. I mean, he played a little bit last year with their M1 and M2 clubs when the Nike got out of the hard goods business in golf, and he had an opportunity to be a free agent for a little while. So he's familiar with that equipment, and they're going to make irons to spec for him. They've already done that, and he's going to play 14 clubs and a ball with them. So this is obviously a substantial change. Certainly a month before the U.S. Open, that's a consideration, thinking about how he's going to play at Erin Hills, but there's certainly a lot of buzz about his deal, and that TaylorMade has been purchased by a private equity company out of New York called KPS Capital Partners. So there's new life in that company yet, and they've made a statement from day one by bringing in a four-time major winner.
Yeah, no doubt. Lots of money. It's Ryan Ballingy type money being thrown around with the billions of dollars in and around there. All right, so in our remaining moments as they get ready to get this thing underway, I will put the tray of names in front of you, not just McIlroy, not just Dustin Johnson, who you and I talked about in the opening segment, or Spieth or Jason Day, the defending champion. You have it all in front of you. Give me a name or two that you like and why as this thing gets underway, Ryan.
Well, I would echo the sentiment about McIlroy. I mean, he's got a good course record at Sawgrass. He obviously has not won here before, but he has been in the top 12 each of the last 4 years. That's certainly something to consider, and he can back into a top 10 finish just as well as anybody. But if he's playing well tee to green, like he has been, then his ball striking is good enough that he can win on this golf course even without his best putting. Certainly a guy to like. I mean, his track record at the Players certainly speaks for itself, an 08 winner, and continues to put in top 15 finishes in this championship. And obviously he has nothing to lose and really nothing to gain either. I mean, he's won here. He's won his major. He's going to get married. Everything's right in his life. So playing pretty much carefree golf, which is always good news for any player, but certainly for Sergio Garcia. And then John Rahm, he does not seem afraid of who he's playing against, where he's playing against, that he's only had 20 professional starts. He is not concerned about any of that. And I don't think he'll be afraid of this course or this opportunity that he has in front of him. And he's playing like a top 10 player in the world, knocking on the door of that distinction. And I think he's got a great opportunity to win this championship.
Interesting, because Rahm does not have experience there, and usually experience is required in some of these situations. And we'll see. And there have been names that have contended recently. Ryan, I know you know this. Kevin Kisner was in the mix a couple of years ago with Ricky Fowler, kind of almost out of nowhere. David Toms at an advanced age, almost at Champions Tour level golf. Back, the 2011 Players Championship was right there with a chance to win it before KJ Choi beat him in a playoff. Paul Guidos, same thing, 2008. So we've seen some guys as dark horses, older players, that kind of thing. More to your point, that it doesn't necessarily require that you're a longer hitter or a young buck to be able to get it done. We'll see how this part plays out. I think Spieth could be a factor from the international standpoint. Justin Rose might be an interesting name, too. We'll see how his health is. I know that he and Stenson missed the cut in New Orleans in the team event a couple of weeks ago, but that might be another name that's been lurking around and playing a lot of great golf over the last year, too. One thing's for sure, it's going to be exciting. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for it to all unfold at Ponte Vedra Beach at the Players Championship, Ryan Ballingy?
It's one of my favorite tournaments of the year, one of my favorite ones to cover, and the PGA Tour does it right. They do a great job down here, and they've made it only better over the years. So the players really love competing in this event. They get treated like world-class players and first-class citizens, and they're going to put on a show for people. It should be a great week.
It should be exciting, and again, Ryan will have full coverage on the Golf News Net from the Players Championship. I'll actually be hooking up with Ryan. I will be there with him on location for the weekend as part of this championship unfolding. We'll be giving you post-round coverage throughout the weekend, Thursday through Mother's Day, Sunday night, and the championship. Ryan, thanks. Enjoy the opening round. We look forward to talking with you about it tomorrow night.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be an awesome week, and I can't wait for everyone to hear what unfolds and what we get to see at TPC Sawgrass. So please stay tuned to GNN Live.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Our thanks also to Paul Stewart for helping us out with some insight and predictions from over in England. Our thanks also to our presenting sponsor, Popticals. Stay tuned for that giveaway, the NIDEF Golf Sunglasses giveaway from Popticals, as we've got that going on this weekend as well. For Ryan Ballingy, I'm TJ Reeves. Enjoy the Players. We're back to recap round number one on Thursday night and throughout the weekend, nightly recaps here on GNN Live. Bye.